Szobd dípát, onszög násztuaris, vára szalla, onszög lifasztuaris. Onszög szobd dípát, onszög násztuaris, vára szalla, onszög lifasztuaris. Onszög szobd dípát, onszög násztuaris, vára szalla, onszög lifasztuaris. Onszög lifasztuaris, onszög lifasztuaris.
Lang, lang geleden. Say my soul 4 years terug.
This is the story of Clemercia Jures. She is from Tosranton as well. So she says that after coming from school one day in May, her grandfather sat her down and told her how much he loved her, how he was so proud of who she became and only saw success in her future. She found it odd but entertained him nevertheless. And he tried to do the same with his auntie, but she refused him and said that, you know, her grandfather's just being such a nuisance, he should just let her go and leave her. And after a while, she and her grandmother go to the shops and they buy food for supper. And they come home and her grandmother makes a delicious supper for the family. But before they get to eat, her grandfather says that he has to go somewhere. And he tells, so the grandmother goes, but why are you leaving so late? And the grandfather says, no, just give me 5 minutes, I'll be back soon. So the grandmother says, okay, no, fine, just go. But after 5 minutes, this lady comes and she knocks frantically at their door. And she tells him, your grandfather, and Clemercia says, but what about my grandfather? What about her? But what about him? And this lady doesn't talk, and so Clemercia runs out to the robot, where she sees this ambulance, and there's police lights, and everybody's just talking, and there's a lot of people at the scene. And something's telling her, you know, just keep on walking. And as she pushes people out, and as she walks, she sees her grandfather's laying on the ground. And she finds out that he was knocked over by the police car. So she goes and she shakes him awake and she says, grandfather. But she gets no response from the grandpa. And eventually she calls the ambulance and says, why are you not doing anything? And they put heart pumps on the grandpa. And eventually they take him to the hospital and takes the grandmother with. Later that evening, her grandmother came to the house and came to look for her in her room and told her that her grandpa had passed away. And what she realizes is that her grandfather must have felt that it was his time to go. So she was grateful that she had spent the time listening with him and spending time with him that day. And she looked at her aunt who was crying and saying, her father, and she said, now you are so regretful because when your father wanted to spend time with you, you refused him. And her grandfather taught her so many life lessons, like not judging others, having a positive attitude, and treating everyone with respect. And Clemercia says that she learned to appreciate what she has because she never knows when it can be taken away from her. And she told this story to encourage others, like the learners, to appreciate people in their lives and to never take people for granted because tomorrow is never guaranteed.
But in my school, it was fun for me because my old teachers, I want them to see what I'm doing now with my life.
Yeah.
You see, that's why I was like, yes, we can go to that school. Oh, I would love to see that teacher. So, and they said, it's good you become something in your life. And thank you for the story. In the end, it was great because my story was great when I told my story in school about you must appreciate what you have. Indeed, the children come, yeah. Ooh, it's just like that, so I enjoy it very much.
Have it.
standard? Ek weet dit gaan goed, nee, want ons moet lekker warm hier so vier binne. Maar ek moet vandag vir julle 'n storie vertel. So lank gelede, sê maar.
This story is by Catherine Robenheimer. She too is from Toastranton. So long time ago, Catherine used to live in an informal settlement, and she lived in a shack. Now in South Africa, a shack is, it's these houses that are just, it's just built from different sort of materials. So if you have spare wood or if you have spare tin, you'll just sort of put a house together. And she lived in one of these houses with her sister and her sister's children. Now next to them lived this couple, and this couple would constantly get drunk, and after they got drunk they would fight and they would swear at each other. And, you know, it would just be this massive, massive fight. But it happened so often that people just sort of ignored them when they would fight. Now, in the informal settlements, because the houses are super, super close together, one can literally hear everything that happens in your neighbor's house. And in these informal settlements, you know, people are borrowing sugar from each other. You have children who have snotty noses. It's just a very dense population of people living on top of each other. One night she heard this fighting again, and she heard swearing going on and bashing of things. And next minute she hears this woman saying, "You're going to see now what I'm going to do to you. You're going to see now what I'm going to do to you." But she thought, okay, no, these people fight all the time. It's probably nothing. And she decides, okay, let me go and wash. And to wash herself, she never, like, it wasn't electricity, so they used gas. So she would put on a pot of water, put it on a gas stove, make it hot, and then go and wash herself. And she goes to her room, starts to undress, and puts the water up. But as she's starting to undress, she feels that it's getting very, very hot. And she's like, okay, this is weird. And she still goes and undresses, but it's starting to get extremely hot. So she looks out of the window and she sees flames. The next house has caught fire. And she runs out and she tells her sister, look here, we need to phone the fire. The fireman, because it's burning, this house outside is burning. There's smoke everywhere. There's just yellow and red everywhere. And she says, it's burning. And she runs out of the house in the road, because now they're looking for this family. They just left their house and it's burning. And she's like shouting, "Your house, it's burning, it's burning, it's burning." But no one's coming. Their house has also now started to catch some of the fire, so the roof is starting to melt away. And the neighbor came out of his house and started hose piping their house. And by the time the fireman came, she shouted, "Please just sort out our house first." And the fireman made sure that their house was sorted, and they hose piped. But by the time they got to the neighbor's house, the house had burnt down. All that was left of the house was just ashes. Luckily, nobody got hurt, but that house was home to 8 people who were now homeless because of someone's actions. In that moment, she learned that your consequences can be deadly, because she asked the woman of the house, who set the fire, and the woman said she set the fire because she was angry at her partner. She realized that, you know, it's not good to just act on your jealousy or your anger, because that lady left 8 people homeless because she just decided to go and burn the house down. So she told the story because she firstly wanted children to know that playing with fire is very dangerous and can have deadly consequences, but also that being angry and jealous can cause a lot of consequences, so one needs to always think before you act.
My
name is Ruweda, and this is my story. 2 years ago, when I was in grade 12, all my friends were sitting around the table and they told each other, I'm going to university, or I'm going to college. And I sat there and I wondered, but where am I going? I didn't know what I wanted to do after school. So I thought, okay, they're giving me something to think about. That day, I went home and I received a message from my sister. Now, my sister lived in George and I lived in the Eastern Cape. And she told me, you know what, apply at Southgate College. And I thought, okay, but that's in George and I'm in the Eastern Cape. Am I going to get there? And she said, just apply. And I'm like, okay. So I applied and that was the last day that they took students. The next day, I received a message from Southgate College to say I must come and write a test. But now I thought, I have no choice. Now I really have to go to George. So I started packing my clothes and I said, but mom, do you think I should go? And my mom said, yes, my child, go. It's great. It's a great opportunity. So I said, okay. I had no choice because I applied nowhere else. But I said, okay, I'm going to George and I'm going to meet new friends and I really can't wait. The Sunday I got into a taxi. Now, George is quite far from Eastern Cape, but we got in the taxi and we went for the drive. And that's how I started living with my sister in Toastranton. And in 2016, I began college. And now I got in a bursary to study at that college. So that's how I could afford to go to that college. Now, in that first year, I put in a lot of hard work because a new college is no joke. It's a lot of hard work. And I worked very hard and I put in all my effort and I couldn't wait for my marks. When we had tests, I would study very hard and I would tell my friends, oh, see how much I get. Oh, I got very good marks. And I'd go running home to my sister and I'd say, look at my marks. And she'd say, wow, great stuff, my sister. Keep up the good work. She would always encourage me and she was always so happy when I got good marks. The second quarter was quite short, but I studied hard and I went to go write exams. After the exams, then it was normally holiday, so everybody would go home and school would close. So I went home to my mom and I was happy and I was quite confident that I would pass all of my marks, all of my subjects. So in 2017, which was in this year, I had to go back to school in January now to go and get my results. Everything reopened, the schools opened, the colleges opened, and I had to go and collect my results. But now I must go and get my results on this day, the 13th of January. And this is a very special day because it's my mom's birthday. And now I must fetch my results too. So I was a bit nervous, but I was happy because I was going to pass and I was going to go to the next grade. So I got to college and I was so unsure and confused where to go because there's so many new faces on campus. There's so many new people coming to apply. So I got there and I saw some of my friends and they asked, so where are you going? And I said, I don't know. But they said, okay, go to the office and go and talk to the lady there and see what's happening. So I got to the office and there was this young lady told me, no, lady, all your fees are paid. You can go and fetch your results in the wall. So I said, okay, and I went to the wall. And I saw one of my teachers and he goes, oh, Miss Van der Merwe. And I said, yes, sir. Oh, you're probably here for your results. Yes, sir, I am. He looked and said, oh, you must start praying 2 times, eh? And I said, sir, why must I pray? Why must I pray twice? I don't understand. I worked very hard, sir. So you can't tell me that. Mr. Van der Merwe, you must pray twice before you get your results. And I was like, no, man. And he looked again. He's like, okay, Rueda, here are your results. And he kept on speaking and saying, Rueda, you can still finish in this year and apply to do a rewrite. And I'm like, no, sir. What are you talking about? And he said, well, you can't go on to the next grade. I said, sir, I worked so hard. Please, don't play games. Like, please, sir, is that not a mistake? And he said, no, this is your name under these results. Apply again and rewrite and work harder next time. And I said, no, sir, you can't tell me that, sir. No, sir, really? No, man. What do I tell my sister now? What do I tell my mother? The teacher said, don't worry, young lady. Just go to the lady there and apply to read it. And I was like, yo. Now, friends, I didn't know what to do. I failed and I didn't know what to do. I could go nowhere and I didn't know what to do. How do I go forward? So I went to the lady and I asked to rewrite and she asked me, how many subjects are you rewriting? And I said, I have to rewrite 2. And she said, that's 100 rand per subject. And I said, I don't have that kind of money. And she said, don't worry, young lady, you can pay it in this week. I said, okay, miss. And I was just hoping that something would come up. And then I realized I need to call my sister and tell her what happened. But how am I going to do that? She's working and she pays for my transport to college. So how am I going to tell her now that I'm... What am I going to say? Okay, so I decided to call her and to let her know what happened. And she just ended up screaming at me and shouting at me. And I felt so bad about myself. I just felt like a failure, you know? And she's like saying, how could you fail? You were supposed to work harder. And this is what you do, you just go fail. Like what? And as if I didn't feel bad about myself already. And now I had to phone my mother and I called my mother. And my mother started shouting at me and she's like, didn't you work? You know I don't work. You know I don't have money for you to study. How could you mess up like this? And she heard now that my sister's not going to help me anymore. And I thought, now what? I left college and I was on my way to see the teachers. And on my way, there's one of the teachers who taught me. And he asked me, the waiter, what's wrong? And I said, no, sir, I'm going to go now because I don't belong here. And he said, tell me what happened. And I said, no, sir, I'm not coming back to college. And he said, Rueda, why are you giving up? You can't just give up like that. I know you worked hard in my class. And I know you can work harder and do better. You're going to pass, rewrite, and get that second chance. I said, okay, sir, but I must go now. I don't feel well. And he said, okay, but Rueda, please don't give up. I know you won't give up. When he told me that, I felt like, wow, you know, there's somebody who cares about me and who's supporting me in this moment of so much self-doubt and feeling so bad about myself. And I walked because I had to now catch a taxi back to Taranton. I got in the taxi and there was this auntie that always gets the bus with me in the mornings. Now, every morning at 6 o'clock, I would catch the same taxi from Tozranton to George, and Tozranton is quite far, and this aunt was always with me now. She asked me, when are you going to college again? When is it opening? I don't see you anymore. And I said, I'm not going to college anymore. I failed. I'm not going anymore. And she put her hand on my shoulder and she said, but you can. Just try a bit harder. She kept on talking and encouraging me. And I felt like, wow, my sister and my mother pushed me down so much. But there are people who care about me. So why should I feel like this? And I thought, I'm not going to give up. In this day, I'm still going to find a solution to my problem. I could not just sit and lay around while my sister worked because she would scowl at me so much. So I SMS'd my sister, and because she was not working, I asked her, your work usually takes people. Are they appointing people yet? And she said, yes, give them your ID. They're appointing people now. And just put in your CV and let's see what happens. So I didn't have a CV. But next to me sat this guy who worked at that place, Roberto, who was always helping me with my computer lessons. And I asked Roberto, could you please help me? And he asked, why? What you need? And I said, I need help making a CV. Please, I need to apply for a job. And he said, why are you working? They're not in college? And I said, no. And he said, what is it? And I said, I'm not going to college anymore. Then he said, why? Did you fail or something? I told him, don't say it like that. Almost as if it's nothing. I failed. And he said, okay, let me help you with applying for work. This is where Roberto works, the same place where my sister works, which is 7 passes. He helped me type and we handed in the CV. The next day they called me to say, Rueda, we're going to do interviews. And I was like, I will get this job. And now I have a solution to my problem. No more worries. I already applied to rewrite. So I'm going to rewrite and I have this job. And my sister was at work and I went to her and I told her, you know what? I have this job. I told her, they're going to give me this job. This job is mine. I also told myself I got this job and that it's my job, which I got. I got the job. I learned to never give up. And now, friends, in June, I will be rewriting my exams. And that is my story.
Okay, thank you, Mats. Lang gelede, plus minus 3 maanden.
This is a story by Trudy Marais. She is also from Toastanton. In the story, she wakes up one morning, and today is the day that she is going to town. Now, town is known as George, and in a place like Toastanton, town means everything. It's the place to be. It's the place where you see good-looking guys, where you can meet all sorts of people. So you want to look your best and be on your best behavior, because you never know, your husband could potentially be in town. So it was time to pick out her outfit, and it took forever because she wanted to look amazing. She's like, she wanted to look glamorous and people to think that, wow, this girl, she's got style. So she takes out her outfit, after choosing not this one, she finally gets the perfect outfit. Then she does her makeup and she does her hair, which again takes another hour because everything needs to be perfect. She eventually is ready to go, looking all super fabulous. And she goes to work and she gets in the transport and they move on to town with her colleagues. Now they first had to go and sort out some police clearance and things at the bank. She and her friend goes to this bank where they find that it's offline, and they're like, oh my word, this bank is offline and we need to get our papers. But nevertheless, she tells her friend, look here, I'm very, very hungry. Can we please go to the shop and go eat something? She goes, they're going to have some fish and chips, and she eat. And as they're walking, she walks, and then all of a sudden, she feels something is not right, and she looks down, just to find that a shoe has broke. And she looks at the shoe and the sole is busy peeling off and it's just becoming such a disaster. And a friend laughs at her and says, yeah, I think you ate yourself fat. Now your shoe is broken because your foot is too fat for the shoe. And she's like, well, what am I going to do? It's time. People are going to look at me like, what am I going to do? And her friend says, no, just sleep it all along. And she goes, I can't do that. It will take forever to walk. Eventually, she takes her shoes off and she's left humiliated and embarrassed because she's in town where people are going to look at her and judge her because why is she in town without shoes? And they go into the mall and she's like, oh my word. People are starting to stare at her and they're starting to look at her like she looks out of place in town. And she just felt like she wanted to die. And she's like, oh my word, can I just get out of here? Can I just hurry and get out of here? Eventually, she runs back into the transport because she's scared that her friends were going to make fun of her. And she just hid herself in the transport until she got back to work. When she got back to work, she got into the building and she saw another colleague of hers. And her colleague was barefoot too. But her colleague didn't care what other people thought. She was just walking, playing with the kids as normal. And in that time, she learned that it doesn't matter what you wear on the outside. It actually matters what's on the inside. Because looks will fade away. But we need to respect people. She wanted to share that story with her children to teach them that you need to look at what's on the inside and not always on the outside, but also to teach them not to judge others because you don't really know what their story is.
Thank you, Majis.
My story is not about a broken shoe. It's about what's in the inside that makes you beautiful, not in the outside. Yeah, that's the great thing I love about my story. And don't worry and don't care about what other people think about you or say about you. Because people, they are mean sometimes. And they want to bring you down. They want to be you to be at that level that they are. And that's what I learned about my story. I love my story now. I love my story. You know, the adventure of a broken shoe. I love my story.